You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Meet the Council of Presidents series, which takes us to Wisconsin via Arizona.
Correct.
Because we are at the LCMS convention, and we are recording with one of our vice presidents, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Eric Skovgaard. He serves as the Great Lakes Regional Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and also serves at Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Pastor, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thanks. It's a joy to be here. Yeah.
Now, we are at the LCMS convention when we're recording this, and this will air after the convention. So how long have you been serving as a Vice President for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Less than a year.
Okay.
When John Wohlrabi retired and moved out of the region, then President Harrison had an opportunity to fill that position for the remaining time, and he chose me.
So okay.
I'm up for election, but I'm not. I was appointed to the office right now.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So by the time this airs, we'll know the results of that election. All right.
Right.
Very good. All right, Pastor. Now, in this series, Getting to Know the Council of Presidents, we start off with the lightning round.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. As ready as I'll ever be.
This is the best part.
This is
so
fun.
Excited. Yeah.
All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, still need to keep a tally of those. Favorite cuisine?
Anything with lamb.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a new answer. I like that. We might come back to that.
All right. Yeah. Favorite book? And we know as a pastor, I'm sure you love the Bible, the Lutheran Confessions. You can go even further than that.
Well, sure. Anything having to do with our confessional or biblical heritage, of course. But I don't think that's what you were aiming at.
Mm. I mean, if that's what you like to read.
I do like to read that. But
that's good.
Yeah. I think anything dealing with C.S. Lewis is a favorite of mine. I like he's not as well known for his poems, but he's got a whole collection of poems, too, that I really find enjoyable.
No. Okay. Favorite office supply? Very important question.
Sticky pads.
Okay. All one color or multicolor?
Multicolor.
Ah,
sure.
Yes. Perfect.
All right. Favorite dessert?
Tiramisu.
Ooh.
I hear a theme with this one.
Yeah.
We've heard this one multiple times.
Yeah, it's a council of presidents' favorite, apparently.
No.
Yeah.
Must have been what they fed us last time.
Favorite vacation destination?
Hawaii, because I don't get there very often, of course, but it makes me think of my honeymoon with my wife.
Oh, so. That is sweet.
All right, favorite hymn, and I know this isn't fair to ask, but favorite hymn?
Fight the good fight.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Lay hold on life, and it shall be your crown and joy eternally.
You do like it.
Yes.
That was excellent. All right, last one. Favorite time of day?
Probably about 8 o'clock at night on the porch where the day's work is mostly done. We've had dinner, and I can watch the sun go down.
Beautiful.
Pastor, tell us about where you grew up.
Well, I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., in Virginia. More or less, my dad's job caused us to move around quite a bit. But Virginia, I was born there. I think of myself as having been raised there. I went to college there, that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that. Tell us about growing up in Virginia outside of D.C. What was your childhood like?
My childhood was full of adventure. My parents allowed me to have a lot of freedom. Come home from school, whatever grade that was, and was expected to be outside playing with friends in the woods, playing soccer in the court with friends. And so I just was expected to be home for dinner at 6 o'clock. So I would come home, drop off my bags, go play, and come home for dinner.
That sounds awesome.
Tell us about the path to seminary. When did you start thinking about seminary? How did you find your way to seminary to become a pastor?
Well, that's an involved story. But,
all right.
Let's do it.
It's a good one.
We do love stories.
So I was living and working in Southern Africa. And so out of college, I went and did foreign service type work, in Southern Africa, and while I was there, I got engaged in conversation with and debates with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and one thing led to another, and I made a mental note to myself: when I get home back to Virginia, I need to get more involved with my local church, see what I can do to promote the true confession of the faith, and so. 2 years later, my pastor at the time was telling me, go, Eric, already. What are you still doing here? Go to seminary. So my office held on to my position for a year, thinking I was, at 28, was having a midlife crisis. And but after a year of seminary, I was hooked, and there's no going back.
That is a great story. Okay, so I want to back up a little bit, though. How did you end up doing foreign service type work? Because I think this might come up a little bit later.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I was following in my dad's footsteps, really.
Okay, yeah.
So when I said I mostly grew up in Virginia, that's true. But my dad's job had taken us overseas quite a bit. And so I grew up in that life and just figured I'd do what dad did. And actually, I loved it. I didn't go off to seminary because I wasn't happy doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
I just, God had a way of picking me up by the back of my neck and saying, move it, Scovey. Yeah.
Very good, yeah. What was the transition like from foreign service into seminary?
Well, I was still a single guy at the beginning of that, and so it was somewhat easy because I kind of viewed it as another deployment. I was just doing what I was told to do, and I went and did it. So it was the first year was okay. After the first year, I was married, and that was a whole new adventure all by itself, which I loved. So still loving it, right?
Yeah.
Tell us more about seminary life. You mentioned you started studying there. You loved it. You really enjoyed studying theology. What are some of the highlights from your time at seminary?
It would be hard to replace all of those daily conversations that you could have with classmates, where they were from, what they were learning, with the professors, the regular daily worship. It's so hard to pinpoint just one aspect of it, but I just loved it. I loved the theology. I loved the camaraderie. It was a joy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you mentioned you came in single and did not stay single for very long. Tell us about that story.
Well, I like
meeting
to,
your wife.
I'd like to say, yeah, that God, you know, if you respond to God, He provides what you need, and He knew that I needed a wife. No.
Yeah. That's fair.
Right. No. So I met Shelley, of all places, in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And
you've been everywhere.
Well, it was just a short trip, and we were at a conference together, and she saw me, and she thought I looked trustworthy, and asked if I would watch her bags while she got something to eat.
That's amazing.
And so for the next couple of days, I was hooked, and so I've been carrying her bags ever since, right?
Oh my goodness. That's an adorable story.
Yeah, right, right. She obviously chose me first. She thought I was trustworthy, and that and it all went downhill from there for her.
That's amazing.
So take us from seminary to serving as a pastor. Where did you go after seminary?
So right out of seminary, my first call was as a mission developer in Northern California. So in the California, Nevada, Hawaii district. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 4 years. And I jokingly say you can only take so much beautiful weather before you need a real winter. And so I got a call after 4 years to Wisconsin. And it was a great place to raise kids. And I say both weeks of summer in Wisconsin are great.
That's true. You do, especially if you're from a place that has real winter. You can only manage without winter for so long before you kind of miss it.
Yeah. You know, I've always gardened from childhood up. And when we got to Wisconsin, people say, don't put anything in the ground until Memorial Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
From Virginia growing up, I said, well, you've got to be kidding. You're almost harvesting by that point. And no, but I've learned. I've adjusted.
I was going to say, did you follow their advice?
Yeah. Mostly. I think I tried to push the envelope once or twice, and it didn't end well.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Learn by doing in those cases.
Yeah.
Tell us about being a mission developer. What was that experience like, or were some of the things you got to do doing that?
Well, to be a mission developer, you really have to get out of your own comfort zone. You have to be able to meet people where they're at, because you don't have a lot of people that you're starting with. And so you've got to cultivate those relationships. And so you have to become good at the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the things I think that was a lot of fun was we had an information booth and at a farmer's market that we, a couple of us would do. And I would buy coffee from a local business, so I wasn't taking business away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd offer it for free, and then we would engage whoever would come up, and you never know who you're going to meet that mm-hmm. way. But it was always rewarding. Yeah.
Tell us about the congregation you serve now. You serve at Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin?
Yes, you said that correctly. Absolutely, yeah. So I learned about Laverne and Shirley and Fonzie and Happy Days and all that by moving to Wisconsin, because that all takes place in that area. So the congregation I serve now, I've been there for 23 years. Great people, loving congregational family, and I served there with an associate pastor. We had an elementary school that unfortunately closed a couple of years ago, but many of the same familiar trends that we see in other places, declining numbers all around. But God's people there have been very good to us, and we love it. So
we're talking with the Reverend Eric Skovgaard. He serves as Great Lakes Regional Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and also serves Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Skovgaard. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are talking with the Reverend Eric Skovgaard. He serves as a Vice President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, 6th Vice President for the Great Lakes region, and also serves Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. We talked about that a little bit. Tell us about the Great Lakes region of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That's, I'm sure, a very large territory. What does that entail?
Well, it is a large territory, but in comparison to the United States as a whole, it's not a huge area. It encompasses all of Wisconsin, so it's the two districts for Wisconsin, the Northern Illinois district, the eastern part of Iowa, and then Michigan. So, you know, we kind of wrap ourselves around Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty Lutheran dense area. Not saying Lutherans are dense, but there's a lot of Lutherans in that area.
That is a very heavily populated Lutheran area around Lake Michigan. Also a very beautiful region. This would
yes.
be my home region where I grew up. So I am very happy to be talking with the Great Lakes region. Tell us some of the unique characteristics that make up this region.
Well, the people are, you know, largely of Germanic and Scandinavian background, and that's my own background. So the Scandahoovian part, I got to throw that in there as well. But I think it's filled with people who love the outdoors
mm-hmm.
and love being up by a lake. You know, maybe not Lake Michigan always, but definitely a smaller lake to go fishing and camping and all of that. So
one of the questions we get to ask in this series that we enjoy asking is, why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Oh. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My dad grew up in the Scandinavian part, right? So he grew up in the southwest corner of Minnesota, and so that was a predecessor body that became the ELCA. My mom was actually raised as a Christian Scientist, which, as you know, is not Christian and not science.
Yeah.
But she came to faith as an adult, and I was in third grade when we joined the Missouri Synod,
mm-hmm.
and it was always very clear from that point where we stood in the gamut of religious bodies in America. And I've never known anything else. And well, that's not. I've never been a part of anything else, but I've always known what it's like to have been someplace else through my parents. And so I came to appreciate what we have through them, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So,
yeah. Tell us more about that. What was the influence of having parents with different backgrounds? How is that experience, the stories that they have been able to tell you, how does that influence how you're a pastor, how you manage being a vice president, all of those things?
Well, sure. When I think of my dad's influence in that regard, he was always one to be involved in different activities at church, meaning he loved to talk to people, loved to serve on boards. He would get there sometimes before the pastor would, you know, and stick around to talk to people until he was the last one locking up. That was just who he was. My mom, on the other hand, brought an intense desire to study God's word. I mean, she was always the one keeping that in front of us, how important it was to remember our identity in the word. And so between my mom holding on to that side and my dad saying, you got to be involved in church. You just have to. So between the two influences, I guess there was no escaping becoming a pastor. I could run, but I couldn't hide, right?
Tell us a little bit about your duties as sixth vice president. What are you responsible for as sixth vice president in the Great Lakes region?
Well, basically the presidium, the vice presidents with the Senate president serve as the presidium, and we are we're there for all the Council of Presidents meetings. We get involved in that regard, but basically we advise the president when he asks for it, and we stand ready to do things on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
how does being in the parish as a parish pastor help influence those additional duties you get to do as a vice president in the region?
Right. Well, the things that I would be called upon to give advice on or to help in are all parish-related issues, mm-hmm. almost entirely. So the fact that I've still got 1.5 feet in that world is very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you balance that? How do you balance being a parish pastor and serving as a vice president for the LCMS as well? I'm sure...
By the grace of God.
I'm sure both that have their demands. How are you able to balance that? How does that work out for the congregation and vice versa?
Well, I have a loving wife who holds up my hands in prayers, and then I also have an associate pastor who's a great young man, and I can entrust to all kinds of things at church. So mm-hmm. when I need to be gone, I know the church is in good hands. Yeah.
And speaking of, I mean, you're here at the LCMS convention
yes.
in Phoenix, Arizona. What are your responsibilities here at the convention as sixth vice president?
Well, I was assigned to Floor Committee 2 on International Witness, and didn't have the same level of focus as some of the other committees would have, and a lot of important things going on here at the convention. But in addition to that, I've been trained to be a part of the action on the dais. If called upon, I may chair different portions of the convention as well.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the Senate president has in store for me. Yeah. I'm ready if needed. Right.
we'll have to get an extra report after all is said and done in a few
right.
days.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy about being here at convention, surrounded by, we have just begun our interviews for this, but we've already been catching up with so many people. What do you enjoy about being at these conventions?
Well, so I've been a pastor now for 26 years, and so with that comes a lot of friendships that mm-hmm. have developed over the years. So it's kind of fun to catch up with people. And people walking by are waving at me and yelling out things to me. I know. So that's obviously a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We've talked about some important things. Now it's time to go back to the really important things, the lightning round.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. There's more.
There's more. Yes. Yeah. So we in the lightning round, we asked you questions about your favorite things. And we said we might come back and unpack some of those. Sarah's not surprised. I always go back to the food.
He does. He loves food.
All right. Oh, okay. So all right. You yeah. said when we asked about your favorite cuisine, you said anything with lamb. All right. Tell us some of the favorite dishes that you've had with lamb.
Well,
where did this all started, this interest with lamb?
Well, I got to lay it at my parents' feet because of they had lived and worked in the Middle East when they were just first married and a little bit before that as well. And so they brought with them all of that. So I like lamb and couscous and hummus and all that stuff. Anything Middle Eastern, I really enjoy.
Okay.
I do too.
Yeah. That's, yes, that is accurate. Tell us why Fight the Good Fight is your favorite hymn out of all the hymns that you could have picked. Why is that one your favorite?
Oh, I think I love the tune. For starters, but it also resonates with me because we the Christian life is one of engaging not only an unbelieving world but the struggle within at times, and so we fight the good fight by holding on to Christ and the life that He has given us, and so when it's easy to feel like we get knocked down every now and then, but you fight the good fight, you get back on your feet by God's grace and hold on to what He has given us. I suppose we might even. The Lutheran in me will want to say, of course, that the most important thing is that He holds on to us and that He has fought for us. But we're engaged in the fight as well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Hawaii when we talked about favorite vacation destination. Tell me a little bit more about that. There's a story there.
Well, the story is simply that my wife and I got to honeymoon there. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, it's lived in my memory rent-free. Yeah, and we've been back since. But it is a wonderful place. And the island of Kauai is my favorite, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
Let's talk C.S. Lewis.
I didn't steal that one because I knew you wanted to ask
thank
it.
You. Yes. I get the books and the hymns. Andy knows and Andy talks about food.
This is how food and vacation.
This is how this works here. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us more about C.S. Lewis poetry. I'm not sure I really even realized he wrote poetry. Yeah. So tell us more. I'm very curious.
It's not a big book, but it's probably 100 pages worth of his poems. And it's just called Poems by C.S. Lewis.
Oh.
And so... My interest in C.S. Lewis started at the University of Virginia, where I went to undergrad, and I took a course in his work.
Uh-huh.
And so we were exposed to all kinds of stuff: his study in words, his you know, children's stories, and all of that. So, but at the time, I don't know that it really sunk in until I was getting ready to go off to my foreign service type work for a while. I went for training, and I. When I was getting ready to leave, my mom placed a copy of The Business of Heaven, which is just a collection of daily thoughts from C.S. Lewis' writings that you can pick up and read, you know, devotionally if you wanted to. And so I read that, and I just remember pondering and going, this is fantastic stuff. And that's where the real interest in C.S. Lewis grew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poems are great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one. We talked about your favorite time of day. 8 p.m. on the porch watching the sun go down after dinner. What's the sun like? What's sunset like in Wisconsin, in Elm Grove, Wisconsin?
Usually there's cloud cover of some sort. And so you usually get a beautiful red sunset. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looking west. Yeah.
This is all after, you know, a Middle Eastern dinner with lamb and some tiramisu as well. Great.
Andy's going to come over and visit for all of that.
We've got a big dog. He's friendly, but he is a big dog. Dogs. He's a 90-pound Weimaraner. So
awesome.
Yes, right.
Those are the best. Yeah.
Does he sit on the porch during sunset?
He sits wherever I go.
Wherever you go.
Oh. All right. Yes. He's my Velcro dog.
Oh, love it.
Our guest today, the Reverend Eric Skovgaard. He serves as 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the Great Lakes region and also serves Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for spending this time with us on the Coffee Hour. It was great to get to know you today.
It was a joy. Hard to believe it's already been a half an hour.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. KFUO.org/give.